The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 4th chapter. You may be seated for the Gospel reading this morning. Jesus came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, "Give me a drink," you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well, and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman. But no one said, "What do you want?" Or, "Why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" They left the city and were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Surely no one has brought him something to eat." Jesus said to them, "My food is to do with the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Do you not say, 4 months more, then comes the harvest?' But I tell you, look around you and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is ready, already receiving wages, and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything that I have ever done." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them. And he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world," the gospel of the Lord. I invite the children to come forward for the children's sermon.
Come on up. Got something to share with you today. And I'm sure you all are excited about spring break, huh? It was spring yesterday, wasn't it? And it was spring, something happens. Everybody starts to get their garden ready, don't they? Well, I have two plants here. Look a little different, don't they? This one looks pretty good. This one looks... Looks a little wilted, don't it? I wonder why. Why do plants get wilted? They don't have enough water. That's right. That's it. And when you put the water in there, all of a sudden they perk back up again. And if you water them before they get wilted, hopefully, they'll get nice and strong and tall and they'll bear lots of good fruit. Well, these are tomato plants, so I'm hoping to get good tomatoes out of them. But this one looks like it needs a little water. Well, water. We get watered sometimes, too. All of us got watered at our baptism, right? And I kind of don't remember that too much, because I was really, really a little small baby. And sometimes I think even as we get older, we forget about it, too. Jesus talked to a woman today, a Samaritan woman. Now, she's one of those people that everybody kind of... The Samaritans and Jesus' group didn't get along together, so... And she didn't get along with her people even, because she just did. She was supposed to came to the well all by herself. There was nobody there. They hardly ever saw her. And she came to get the water, and Jesus said, "I've got some water to offer you, but it's a different kind of water. It's a water that when you get it, it's going to well up within you like a big spring to eternal life." And you know what kind of water he was talking about? He wasn't talking about the water to drink, or the water we put on the plant. He's talking about our baptism water. Did you know you have a well in you ready to spring up to eternal life? It's given to you at your baptism, because what's special about that water is it's offered with the promise of God's love for you and his love for you for eternal life. That's what he was offering that lady. But like I said, we forget about it sometimes. And maybe... when we forget about it, we don't realize it, but inside, we're kind of like this. Maybe we wilt a little bit. So maybe we need something to perk us back up again. Need that water. The person our church is named after, Martin Luther, the Lutheran church. Martin Luther said something special. He said, "You should walk wet daily." Wonder what he means by that. Does he mean that Pastor Tim and I should show up at your front door every morning with one of these and squirt you in the face as you go to school? Is that what he means? No. What he means is this. He says, remember your baptism. And how are you going to remember your baptism? Well, we're here, right? In this place. That's how you're going to get wet again. And learn about how that special gift that you got at baptism. Because that's just the beginning. That's just the start. Even for us older people, that's just the start. We need to get wet too, so that's why we have Sunday school, that's why we have church, that's why we have youth stuff, that's why it's important for you to be here, because everything we do, we hear the word, we heard about the lady getting this wonderful gift today, of that water welling up inside. You realize all the songs, we don't sing it because we sing pretty, because if not, probably all of us would be, not going to sing, but listen to the words. That's another way you get wet and walk wet daily. Because those words have meaning, too. Everything we do in here has meaning to help you walk wet out there. Because that lady who didn't know anybody, guess what she did? She took it out there. That well went out and showed other people. And they started to say, "Didn't this lady, the person that never sees us? And listen to what she's saying." And they got And all of a sudden, they're all going to Jesus too. And you know what? Here's the thing I like about this whole story. After he tells her that she can get this water, what does she say? And she just doesn't say it. No. She said it this way. Give me this water. Wouldn't it be wonderful if all of us wanted to do that? Give me this water. I think we can. We've got this place. And I asked you to do 3 5-minutes. Remember? Add that to Lent. That's another way you get wet every day, because you talk about God and his love for you. So I hope you continue to walk wet daily. Okay? Have a good day and a good spring break.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It happens to all of us from time to time. We feel like we've been rejected. We feel lonely. We feel like everybody's abandoned us, that we don't have any place to turn, no place to go to. We get down. In our story today, this woman at the well felt like that. Her life was not going very well. She actually had 3 strikes against her. For the first part, she was a woman in that day and time, in that society. Women were not first-class citizens. They were basically second-class citizens. Their status came from whatever man they were attached to. And that man could be their father, could be their husband, it could be a brother, could be their son. But that's where their status came from. So already she is not, you know, considered the most important person in society. Another strike against her was that she was a Samaritan. Jews and Samaritans did not get along very well. Many years before, when the Assyrians had come in and had conquered the territory, many of the Assyrians stayed, and some of the people that were in this area of Samaria intermingled with them. Some of them, there were intermarriages or maybe intermingling a bit of customs. And so the Jews then looked at the people here in Samaria as not being true to the religion. Even though they worshiped the same God, even though they followed the same religion, they were looked down upon by the Jews as not being pure, as being different, as being other, as not being whole. And so the Jews looked down upon the Samaritans, and they were treated not so well. Third strike was she was considered a sinful woman. According to the Old Testament laws, or the way that they interpreted those laws, when a woman was divorced, and a woman couldn't get divorced, a man had to divorce the woman. The woman could not divorce the man divorced the woman. So when a man divorced a woman and that woman remarried, she was considered a sinful woman. And this woman hadn't only been divorced once, she had been divorced 5 times. She was an outcast. She was not welcome in society. John even points this out in the details. If you notice there at the beginning of the reading, when the story is being set up, John writes in there, this takes place about noon. Now, that's not the common time to go get water. The women were the ones who were responsible for drawing water for their households, all the water they needed for the day for either cooking or cleaning or whatever they needed water for. And the women would go in the mornings. And that would also be their social hour then. You know, they'd be waiting in line to draw the water, and they'd be gathered around the well, and that's the time that they talked with one another, shared their joys, shared their sorrows or their troubles, or complained about things. That was the time for gossip. That was the time for laughing with one another, or just that was their social time. Kind of like some of you folks gather together maybe at Dairy Queen or maybe some other place to drink some coffee every morning. That was their social time, was to draw the water, and that was earlier in the morning. Well, this says it takes place at noon. So what's a woman doing coming to the well to draw water at noon? She wasn't welcome with the other women. She had no friends. Nobody would want to talk to her. Nobody wanted to socialize with her because she was considered a sinful woman. We have those times too, when we are ostracized, when we are rejected, when we are kicked out, when we feel alone, when we are lonely. A prominent, successful woman found out her husband was having an affair. She couldn't tell anyone, because if she did, then she would be the butt of jokes. She would be the center of the gossip around town. So she felt ashamed. She felt isolated. She felt rejected. A junior high boy was laughed at and kidded because he would not take a sip of whiskey from a bottle that one of his friends had stolen from his parents' liquor cabinet. And so they laughed at him. A high school girl felt rejected. She was in the in crowd, but then one of the mean girls was jealous and started telling gossip and stories on social media about her. And she lost all status. A couple moved into a small town, into a small community. And for 10 years, they could not socialize with anybody because the people in the small town had their own families. They had their own groups. They had a history of other people. And it took 10 years for them to finally start to intermingle with people in town. An elderly gentleman was diagnosed with terminal cancer and became homebound. He couldn't get out and visit his friends anymore. And his friends didn't come see him because they didn't know what to say to him and they felt uncomfortable. A woman lost her husband. She became a widow. She no longer could be in that same circle of friends that she had before because that circle of friends were always couples, people that always did things together as couples. And so she was left out. We find ourselves in situations where we are isolated, where we're rejected, where we don't know where to go or what to do. So what do we do when we find ourselves in those places? One thing that we can do is pray, because God does not reject us. Here Jesus in this story reaches out to this woman at the well. He's willing to talk to her. He's willing to minister, and he has a gift to offer to her. Living water. Water that brings her back to life. Water that gives her a new life. Jesus has that gift for us, even in the midst of our lowest points. That's where the woman was. She had nobody except the one man that she was living with. And maybe even that one wasn't going so well. Jesus lifts us up. So we just turn to God in prayer. God promises to hear our prayers and answer our prayers. He doesn't always answer them in the way that we expect. Sometimes they're even better than what we expect. Another thing that we can do is turn to scriptures, because the scriptures are full of places, particularly the Psalms, where there are laments, where people are in the midst of trouble, whether it's something that they had done, whether it's just the situation they are in, or it's something that people have done to them. And they cry out to God. You can hear those words. You can hear the hurt. You can hear the pain. You can hear the loneliness in those words. And see yet that they still have hope. That that's not the end of life, of being rejected. Another thing that you can do is reach out to people. When you're in the midst of that, that's the hardest thing to do, is to reach out. You're angry, you're mad, you're lonely, you're rejected, you're unsure of yourself, you have no confidence. But to take that step anyway, to reach out and visit. Reach out and find new ways. The woman at the well, once Jesus talked to her and said and gave the promise of living water, that he offers that living water to him, she was the one who went out. She went out into that town that had rejected her. She was the one who told about Jesus being there at the well. A good thing to do is just to talk with trusted friends, talk with trusted family members, or go to a counselor, whatever it takes, but to come out of that rejection, to come out of that loneliness, to find a new life, to listen to God for what He has to say as He answers your prayers, to look at what God has to say through Scriptures. The other thing, too, that we need to be attuned to is, can we spot those lonely people? Can we spot those people who have felt rejected? That's what Jesus did. He saw this woman at the well. He sent His disciples away to go get food. He wanted to have that conversation with her. Jesus reached out to her. And that's one of the things that we can do, is reach out to those who are lonely, reach out to those who are rejected. In that conversation then, Jesus brings new life into her. He gives her that living water. And she receives it. She drinks it deeply because she goes out and she tells everyone what Jesus has done for her. Jesus offers that gift of living water to us, that water that will well up, and we will be able to worship God in spirit and in truth, as the gospel tells us. Christ, this is a story leading up, or it eventually builds up then, to that cross of Christ, where Jesus, that same story of being rejected, of Jesus being rejected by His disciples, being rejected by His other followers, being rejected by the religious community, by being crucified by the political community. Jesus willingly went to the cross for us, but He rose again from the dead. Jesus gives us that same promise that we will be resurrected. Even in this life, with that living water, that we will be resurrected. And that living water will well up within us. Jesus says, come to this water. Let me draw that water for you and bless you. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.